Soul is the portion of the divine. Portion, it means like a seed. Seed, what is a seed? Seed comes from the tree, so soul comes from the divine. If you visualize the tree of perfection, it has come from the divine. Ashwath tree, if you want to put an image to it. So soul is a portion of the divine. But the seed contains within itself the whole divine. The whole tree, okay? So I'm using interchangeable term. But does it mean automatically it will develop into a tree? No, first it will develop the trunk. What is the trunk? It provides a base. It's little like feet standing on ground. Okay, little plant with not too steady feet. What is this trunk on which the seed will manifest in the future is the physical. The body is the base. Sharir madhyam khalu dharma sadhanam. So the body is the base on which the manifestation will take. You cut off the trunk. Seed may be there, but it's all air. Okay, it will grow up again. Like rebirth is that. You cut off the trunk, it goes up again. But you have to go through the trunk stage. So physical. Physical is the base on which this manifestation will take place. And the soul is the seed. And just the journey. So as you know, if you observe a tree, you will see those annular rings. Every year the seed grows. Is the seed which is growing, literally. So we can say equally, every life is one step further. Every time you come with a new body, you are pushed towards something which the body doesn't know. Trunk doesn't know. What's pushing me? But it grows. Then comes the vital. So this tree after some time begins to branch out. What is it branching out towards? Towards light. Why? Again it doesn't know. Just like the trunk doesn't know why it is. So this branching out doesn't. In human beings, it is the vital which branches out in the form of desires. Branches are literally like desires. It's just not satisfied. Why? Because it is seeking for the sun. It doesn't know. This way, that way, twist and turning. But it's each one sun is sometimes S-O-N sun. Sun is offspring, all the things that you have achieved. Your creations, you, me extending. So on the physical basis, whatever is extending. So the vital is full of desires. But these desires also, since it's branching, as you see in a tree, you have the branches coming to the side, then they go upward. So the human vital has these two phases of growth. One is when it is going sideways, meaning thereby I want more and more at the same level. Okay, more money, more this, more that, whatever else, I don't know what more. Second is when the vital begins to turn upward. This is when the if you read Shobhana, it's like the lower and the higher vital. Both are vital. Higher vital starts when you enter the heart. I'm not going to minor descriptions of different layers of vital, but largely lower vital, which at the same level. Okay, money, progeny, etc. Then the higher vital, which seeks for an ideal world. Oh, this is my ideal love. I have found ultimately my soulmate. Okay, so it seeks, but it doesn't find. So it's like, it's now turning upward. Why? Because it gets a touch of the psychic. The moment the vital reaches this point, it begins to develop higher qualities, sympathy, kindness, affection, tender care. So you see these higher animals, bear. Mother speaks about the bear with the psychic, first seed of a psychic. Now it has begun to manifest. So psychic is now pushing the tree. You have to go towards light. So you see these higher animals, horse, dogs, cats, so many, elephant. So you see in different ways these, even certain birds, peacock, swan. So that's why they were told, it was told that they should not be killed specifically. I mean, it was not about vegetarian, non-vegetarian, but because they have begun to manifest something of the psychic element. Don't cut short their life prematurely, because they must get that little bit experience. Now, the psychic has begun to get individualized. In a chicken and a fish, it's not individualized, except for dolphins. I'm not a votary that eat chicken and don't eat higher. But I'm just saying that there is a spiritual logic to it. So in certain traditions, in Hindu tradition especially, You see, particularly these animals, because once the psyche begins to grow, take individual body forms, then it's like it must go through that experience. Don't cut it abruptly. Don't let it cut off abruptly. So it grows through that. Now the branches, then begins to, leaves begin to come over it. So vital is still further, you know, expanding itself, covering the tree with the crown. That is where it is evolving into the mental. Thoughts, leaves, like so many thoughts. Now, what are leaves? They are looking at the sun. It's a very interesting, but they don't know how to catch it. And the sun is playing the game, catch me if you can. So, but they are all open like this, but they don't know. They are, each one is carrying this little bit of sun and defining it. So the thought, when thought tries to stretch itself toward that light, thought is born to make us more conscious. It almost gives a meaning to the tree that, look here, this is the ultimate crown. If you look at a tree, it's covered like a crown. So they are this intellectual, the mind. Mind is there to rescue consciousness. It's an intermediary. It's like you have a fork through which you are pulling things out. But what is more important? Not just the fork, but the hand. And what is more important? The man. What is more important? The will. So thoughts are emerge out of the vital, mental emerges, because by thought we begin to become somewhat conscious. We give words, string of words, names to things and define. So that each, let's imagine, leaf is looking at the sun and saying, you know, sun is that. It's so beautiful, shining above. Another is saying it's blazing light. But the leaf which is onto the side is saying, no. I know there is sun, but it's a very mild, temperate sun. The leaf which is hidden inside says, there is sun, but you can feel it, you can't see it. So you have many different sects and cults, thought builds. But what is the ultimate culmination of the tree? The flower and the fruit. Assuming it's a flowering tree. What is happening with the flower and the fruit? Both are now carrying the seeds. One seed becomes many. See the original dream of Ekoham Bahushyam. So psychic beings, full development through all this process. First it must develop, it submerges in the physical. There is a push, but it doesn't know. Then in the vital, through desire self. Desires, completely lower desires, and there is a higher desires. And then the thought through which it is trying to climb up to the sun. Then there is the flower. So what is the flower? Flower says, I give myself to the sun. That's it. What does the fruit say? Fruit could say, now I'm ready for one seed has become many seeds and I'm ready for planting many. Story of Christ in the New Testament. So this one seed, when it grows into a flower and a fruit, that's where the psychic has arrived at full development. The seed has fulfilled itself. But now its fulfillment is going to spread. Each fruit, each flower, potentially will create many. See that? The divine soul extends itself into many souls. So that's how the realization of each one helps many others to, you know, add boost to it. So the soul is the seed. Developing into the full fruit and flower is the psychic being. But core is still the seed. If you ask the psychic being, it holds the seed inside it. If you ask the fruit, it holds the seed inside it. So same way you can look at now, we can zoom into the fruit and the flower and understand the psychic being. So if you see, the core is flower, is the seed. That means if you were to, cross-section, dissect a psychic being, at the core you will still see the soul, the immortal element. Then around it, like in a an actual fruit, you will see now there is the part which is like a pulp, or you know which. So that's the true mental, true vital, true physical. It has developed a personality of itself. All that was there in the seed, the sweetness, the nutrition, all that has gone into the fruit, and then it has an outer layer. So similarly, it has the true mental, true vital, true physical, which is the personality, the soul personality, which is what the psychic being. Psychic being is the soul putting on a personality, if you want to put it. So there is in us these three kinds of personalities. Let's now, understand ourselves. One is the outer, with which we are familiar, or perhaps not familiar. We believe we are familiar. Others probably are more familiar. They to believe that they know us, but they don't. But that is only the outer surface personality. Behind this outer surface personality, which is like the carp of the covering of the fruit, it doesn't change, it rots. But a lot is going on inside, you see. As it grows like a mango, as it develops inside, the outer cover a little bit changes. So there is the inner being or the inner personality. So inner personality is all the time growing under the influence of the psychic being from life to life. And then within it is the true psychic personality. So we have these three layers of personality within us. And this psychic personality, when it is fully developed, that means the soul fully developed through the process of evolution, is the psychic being. When it is not developed, or you want to use a general term, you can use the word soul. It's a general term. But if you talk about the fully developed, so every soul is not a psychic being. It is potentially a psychic being, but every psychic being has a soul at its core, to put it in that way. So everybody is not a fully developed psychic being, because often we have this, you know, search for the psychic being. Well, psychic being is still in the making. So what do we search for? Search for the divine presence inside, and the psychic being will blossom. Even if it is not blossom, doesn't matter. Your search will help it to blossom. And it will blossom. Who knows when? Maybe it's just round the corner. The very sign that you are searching means it has almost blossomed. Probably waiting for that last touch. When it blossomed fully, then it has these three destinies open before it. One is, as Stavros was saying, you can merge into that. The flower withers and falls, unseen by anyone. Does it mean it's a waste? No, it's not a waste. It has seeded what it had to do. It has dropped upon the soil, enriched the soil. Whatever, it has served its purpose. Like those mystics who say our goal is to merge, but they continue to leave a profound influence. Like Buddha, of course, not going into Buddhist doctrine, even illusionists, they leave an influence upon it. Then there is another possibility that it joins with some of these greater beings, like Swami Vivekananda joins to some line of Shiva, Hanuman, you know, he is joined by and Rudra, he is the 11th, 11th Rudra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu joins with Sri Krishna's soul and Radha. So there's another line that psychic being can join with one of these. The third possibility is that it is no more, doesn't need this school of nature, it has done. The whole purpose of entering into ignorance is over. But it doesn't want to completely abandon. It has developed. It has, you know, you go to a place where you develop friends and all, and you know, you have done, you have taught whatever you had to do, but you have developed love and affection. So you don't want to completely vanish. So keep some contact. How do you keep contact? Through letters. So there are psychic beings which can enter into any of these higher planes. And this what is the known as demigod, like Narad. Narad is a human being, was a human being, and he chose a destiny. He said, no, I'll be with Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha. So what will be his job description? He says, I see this earth, I love these human beings, I'll be the messengers. So he's a messenger. So he carries the intimations and he catalyzes the events on earthly life. He is very wise. He'll tell the Asura, you know, the fellow who has come to destroy you is round the corner. These creatures will end up doing something terrible, bringing it nearer. So what is Narad's purpose? He hastens the plan of God. He knows that hohi soi jo ram rachi rakha, that which the divine has decided will happen. How does he do it? He has a very wonderful way of doing. He is pushing everybody toward their destiny. He comes and tells Savitri, you know what, basically, you know, Satvan is going to die after 1 year. Now Savitri undertakes a yoga. If she didn't know, she may not have undertaken the yoga. So Narad's whole action, he goes to Asuras also and he tells them that, you know what, this is going to happen. So Narad becomes a messenger. That's a third kind of destiny, that you dwell on any of the higher planes. Vaishnavism speaks about that. Yes. Yes, so you can either, you know, influence number of people from that plane. you can, you know, bring out your own, what, you know, the word emanation, though that word has its own limitations, but you can, you know, bring out, you can send rays, you can help. You can join to one of the lines of higher descent and be upon earth. That is a fourth possibility. Arjun joins with Indra. But Arjun is a free being. If you look at his past, Shri Krishna says, you are Nar of Nar Narayana fame. Together we have fought the battle of the ages. Arjun is not a bound person. But he joins with Indra for the great battle. So they may come with the divine from age to age. Even gopis and gopis, for that matter, are free beings. So they come because they have to participate in this. So they come on earth. That's the fourth possibility. And now the fifth possibility is, what Sri Aurobindo has said, they can participate in the yoga of transformation. This option was there, but it's like, you know, sometimes you have strange things that you have on the computer or the telephone. I get this phone. You want to click an option, you know there is an option somewhere there, but there is no icon. You just can't click that option. So you don't know what to do. Even in joining some of these, you know, meet, etc., you have some, you know, you have to do this, but you know the icon is there, but it's in the faded background. So you can't do anything. You have to wait. So there have been souls which have aspired for this option of transformation, but there was no option. Though the icon was there in the faded in the background. So you see the dreams of a perfect earth, a perfect world. So they've been there. Now that option has been made public. So we can click on that option, enter into this. So these are the various options of a fully developed psychic being. So psychic being is also not the end, but this is a new beginning. A psychic being, when you have realized the psychic being, it's fully developed, it's free. It doesn't need to come back to earth because schooling is over. But just as a doctor, after he has finished his MBBS and MD, he can come back to be with patients. Why? Because he has to now treat. Or if he says, no, I've done my medicine, I'll heal myself, I don't need to, it'll be absurd. So there are psychic beings which don't run away. They come back because they feel that work is going on and they need to participate. That's how. Is that clear? Soul, psychic being, physical, vital, mental and beyond. It doesn't have to necessarily come back. One, it's like we look at it, this world as a school of nature which is going on. Right now its teachers are ignorance, Mr. Suffering, Miss Desire, or Miss Suffering and Mr. Ignorance. You know. So important, you know. Mr. Whatever. And its headmaster is death. But there is a teaching going on. So after you have realized the psychic being, you're like, you have done your graduation. You don't need to come back. You don't need to go through this lesson at all because you have learned your lessons.
And that's what the, in some of the teachings, the indigenous Aboriginal Australians have in their teachings.
Oh, this is interesting.
It is a teaching place.
Yes, yes, yes. It is a teaching place.
And that we've all come from what they call the oneness.
Yes.
And yes.
This is pure Vedanta. So wonderful. Yes, absolutely. So that's after it realizes. It doesn't have to participate. It can go back. It can merge. All these are valid options. So that's why the beauty of Sri Aurobindo's teaching, it's not either or. It says these are valid options. But it may participate. Some are impelled. At the end, we can read something from Savitri then with regard to this particular, the options of the psychic being, on the psychic being and its journey.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, so. So, page 23, book 1, canto 3, the yoga of the king, the yoga of the soul's release. So it's the journey of the psychic being or the soul, okay? It grows into a psychic being step by step. But yes, it's marvelous poetry. It's the way of Savitri. This bodily appearance is not all. The form deceives. The person is a mask. Hid deep in man, celestial powers can dwell. His fragile ship conveys through the sea of years, and incognito of the imperishable. Incognito, we don't recognize the psychic soul. A spirit, that is a flame of God, abides. So the spirit is the, we can say, the radiation of the Lord. Let's say the sun is the transcendent, and you see around it that corona, which is radiating all. If you enter into that corona, you are as good as being in the sun. It burns, it scalds, it's tremendous. So that is the spirit. It's the simple way to understand it, the atmosphere of the Lord in human terms. All the radiation, the power, that energy. So from that one portion, the photons, if you want to extend the image. So the photon, a spirit, that is a flame of God, abides. A fiery portion of the wonderful. Artist of his own beauty and delight. Immortal in our mortal poverty. This sculpture of the forms of the infinite, this screened, unrecognized inhabitant, initiate of his own veiled mysteries, hides in a small, dumb seed his cosmic thought. See the image of the Ashwath tree and the seed. In the mute strength of the occult idea, what is that idea which determines all things, that a seed will grow into that tree? That is the supermind which is hidden inside everything as the sole determinant. That's why there is no chaos in spite of chaos. Chaos, if you go into the subatomic ranges, and yet there is something which pushes things towards order. So that's the supermind. So mute idea is there in all of us. It is pushing us and will push us through whatever time it takes towards that fulfillment. Determining predestined shape and act, passenger from life to life, from scale to scale, changing his imaged self from form to form. So it becomes first a chimpanzee, horse, all this, and then a form, icon. And in the worm foresees the coming God. Soul knows its destiny. Now comes the another level. This up till now, this is the up till what is called primary schooling. So after the primary schooling, the higher secondary. At last the traveler in the paths of time arrives on the frontiers of eternity. In the transient symbol of humanity draped, he feels his substance of undying self, the sense of secret immortality, wakes up in us and loses his kinship to mortality. A beam of the eternal smites his heart. So one of the results of the psychic being is all fear of death vanishes because you become conscious of your immortality. His thought stretches into infinitude. Now the barriers of thought are being removed. So thoughts are going beyond philosophies, beyond cult, sects, ideas, is going towards infinity. All in him turns to spirit vastnesses. His soul breaks out to join the oversoul. His life is oceaned by that superlife. He has drunk from the breasts of the mother of the worlds. So now Diti has delivered. From the darkness seed has been delivered. Now it is delivered to Aditi, Divine Mother. Aditi means that which cannot be divided, indivisible. Diti is division. So we are first children of Diti. So meaning thereby we live by the body, mind and life and think I am this, I am that, so and so is that. So there is separateness, division. Then Aditi, indivisible consciousness. She adopts a topless supernature, fills his frame. She adopts his spirit's everlasting ground as the security of her changing world and shapes the figure of her unborn mites. Immortally, she conceives herself in him. Now the Divine Mother ups the game. He becomes, or that soul becomes, the psychic being, begins to become the divine conception. See, begins to manifest the divine possibilities. In the creature, the unveiled creatrix works. Now it's no more veiled by the ignorance. Her face is seen through his face, her eyes through his eyes. Her being is his through a vast identity. Her being is his through a vast identity. Then is revealed in man the overt divine. That which was hidden begins to be revealed. Third level, cross that graduate, now it's post-graduation. His static oneness and dynamic power, this is another aspect of Sri Aurobindo that he brings in, both the static and the dynamic aspects of the one reality. Tantra brings the dynamic and Vedanta the static aspect. His static oneness and dynamic power descend in him, the integral Godhead's seals. His soul and body take that splendid stamp. This is the ultimate possibility. And then, of course, it describes man's long journey, a long, dim preparation is man's life, a circle of toil and hope and war and peace, tracked out by life on matter's obscure ground. In his climb to a peak no feet have ever trod, he seeks through a penumbra shot with flame, a veiled reality half known, ever missed. A search for something or someone never found, cult of an ideal never made real here, an endless spiral of ascent and fall. This goes on until, so that answers that question, until at last is reached the giant point. See, this rise and fall is like the catapult, juggernaut. Then you throw. So what is happening? It's you're gaining momentum. It's like backward movement to go forward. Bowlers, pace bowlers. The more behind you go, you know that this is a fast bowler. This is not going to be a spinner. He runs, gets momentum. So something, this ascent and fall is, even individual life is meant for that. An endless spiral of ascent and fall, until at last is reached the giant point, through which his glory shines, for whom we were made, and we break into the infinity of God. Across our nature's borderline we escape into supernature's arc of living light. This supernature is the Divine Mother or the higher nature, call it by whatever. This now was witnessed in that Son of Force. Son of Force is Ashwapati, literally the Tapasvi. Four more lines, then we can stop. What happens then? The new process starts, the process of transformation. Sri Aurobindo summarizes in this way. In him, that high transition laid its base. Original and supernal immanence, of which all nature's process is the art, the cosmic worker set his secret hand to turn this frail mud engine to heaven use. A presence wrought behind the ambiguous screen, it beat his soil to bear a titan's weight, refining half-hewn blocks of natural strength. It built his soul into a statued god. This transformation.